Our text again today in Ephesians 6, in this section dealing with the armor that God gives us as his people in Christ Jesus is verse 18 and 19 and 20, and particularly verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Father, as your little children, we come this day praising you that you are the God who made us and takes care of us. And even though, Lord, this world is a beautiful place, yet it is also a messed up world because of Adam's sin. And Lord, we don't have to look any further than ourselves to know the awful reality of sin and its consequences. How we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you were willing to come in the fullness of time, Son of God, and take on human flesh to become one of us, to live a perfect life, what Adam refused to do and what we cannot do. And you laid down your life on the cross as the substitute to take our place, to take the punishment that I deserve, that each of us deserves. Lord Jesus, thank you that you were willing to drink the cup of wrath and to give us as your little children now, who have experienced your amazing grace, repenting and believing in you. You give us the cup of blessing. And so, Lord, set our hearts to singing your praise this day. Oh, Lord, press the gospel anew upon our hearts, that we would indeed see that you are our life, Lord Jesus. And that we would love you afresh, that we would give ourselves anew to you, Lord, to be close to you and walking with you and living in you. Lord, bless us, we beg, and open your word now. Come by your Spirit, Lord Jesus, and preach your sweet gospel to our hearts. Indeed, we are in need of your saving presence. In Jesus we pray, amen. Well, we have been looking at this last piece of armor, praying in the Spirit at all times. What does it mean to pray? And in the Gospels, in Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus on one occasion, and they said, Jesus, John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. We don't know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And in that context, Jesus said, when you pray, say. and he gave them what we refer to as the Lord's Prayer. On another occasion, Jesus was teaching in a very public place, and we refer to that as the Sermon on the Mount, recorded for us in Matthew's chapter 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus said in that context, when you pray, pray after this manner. Here's a pattern for praying. And so the Lord's Prayer, as it is referred to, it's not the only prayer Jesus prayed that's recorded for us in Scripture. And he prayed many, many prayers that aren't recorded. But this prayer is unique in that Jesus gave it to us as a pattern for us to learn how to pray. And so that's why we're going through this prayer. And it had been my intent to take one of these petitions a week, but here now, for the second time, we're stuck on one of the petitions, and hopefully we can finish looking at this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, what we've seen is there are three parts to the Lord's Prayer. There's the address, and only those who are trusting in Jesus have the privilege of calling God our Father. You can't get to the Father except through the Son. If you want to talk to God, you've got to come through the Son. The Son is the only mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And so as God's little children who are trusting in Christ, we have the incredible privilege of calling God our God Almighty, our Father. And so that's the address. And notice that it is not just my Father, but our Father. And that we have the joy of serving the Lord together. God did not make us to be people who live the Christian life simply as individuals. Yes, we do. But even beyond that, with one another. In our own homes, in our church family, and reaching out from there, we yearn to serve the Lord together with oneness of heart and mind. We've seen the first three petitions have to do with the most important need we have. And most people would start with verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. But that's not our greatest need, even though God knows if we don't have food and clothing and shelter, we will perish, we'll die. But there's something I need and you need even more than food and air to breathe. It is peace with God through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And so our greatest need is to honor God. Hallowed be thy name. That's my greatest need. That's what we were created for, to honor and worship and enjoy fellowship with our Creator. That's why God made us, for His praise. Well, now that Adam has sinned, our first parent, we can't do that. We refuse to do that. We're unable. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. We pray that Jesus would come and save us, and that Jesus would come and take out the hearts of stone of the people around us and touch them with his mighty saving presence. And they would be transferred from the realm of Satan to the realm of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we pray, not just for people to come to know Jesus, but to follow Jesus. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying that that we would know the will of God, and that as we live in this world that God is ruling over, that we would obey what the Bible says, that we would live it. We would love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself. That's how Jesus, quoting from two passages in the Old Testament, summed up the entire will of God. Now, it doesn't mean you can make up anything to plug into what does it mean to love God and what does it mean to love your fellow man, because God tells us that if we love God, we will what? In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep, you will obey my commandments. That's what the definition, the content of God's love is. And you can read in Romans chapter 13 and 1 John chapter 5 to see more about that content of love. Well, we want to pick it up today now where we left off last Lord's Day, considering this matter of this next petition, which is verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And you remember we saw that God is the one that we depend on for everything. God is the one, as Acts 17 reveals to us, in him we live and move and have our being. Why does your heart keep beating? Why are you able to think? Why is your stomach able to digest food? It's because God Almighty blesses us to just exist physically. And he provides for us. Now, he uses means. He doesn't have to. You remember when Elijah was out in the wilderness after he was afraid of Queen Jezebel. What did God use to feed Elijah? A raven, a bird, a special delivery. Every day, God sent a bird to bring food to Elijah. God can do anything he wants to. But the normal way that God provides for us is he has given you young people and children a mama and a daddy, and they give you food and clothing and shelter. After we grow up, God gives us a calling so that we would work with our own hands. And we saw last Lord's Day that in the Garden of Eden, God created Adam and Eve and placed them in a place where there was no want. There was no scarcity. There was no shortage of anything they needed. And now we live in a fallen world. Adam and Eve, because they rebelled against God, they had to leave the garden and make their way in the world, in the wilderness, where there were thorns and thistles that would now grow. It was hard for Adam. Eve was going to bear children in pain. We live in a world where there is sickness and scarcity and brokenness and hate. But praise God, Jesus has come to set things right. And so we look to God. We depend upon God to give us food and clothing, to give us our necessities. And we have a calling, and God is the one who has uniquely gifted each of us to be able to pursue our calling, to work. So that's what we looked at last Lord's Day. Now, there's another aspect to this petition, and that is, not only do we depend upon God to give us our food and clothing and necessities, but we depend upon God to be able to enjoy what He gives us and to use it properly. Let's go over, first of all, to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And here is the record of the children of Israel. They've been rescued from bondage, from being slaves in Egypt. And God just reached down His mighty hand and rescued them. And they're now free. They're out in the wilderness. Well, here we read in verse 1 of Exodus 16. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The 15th day of the second month after they had departed. So they've been out of Egypt about 45 days, okay? Not a real long time, okay? Month and a half. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Think about this. They had seen God do all of these incredible miracles. These 10 plagues had devastated Egypt, but God had protected. The last 7 of those plagues did not touch the Israelites. God had made a distinction. The first 3 affected everybody, but the last 7, God said, "I want everybody to understand that I have the power to bring judgment and to bring blessing." They had seen the Red Sea part. They had seen God destroy Pharaoh's army. And now they're out of food. And what do? Do they do what we see in this prayer? Do they look to God and say, "Lord, You're the one who rescued us. You redeemed us. And so, Lord, we're looking to You. And we know, we don't know where in the world we would get food to eat for one of us, let alone all of us in this desert, but You're God. And so we're looking to You. Give us this day our daily bread." Do they do that? Nope. They murmur and complain, and they threaten to kill Moses, the servant of the Lord. Verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in My law or not.'" Now, God could have rained down a month at a time enough food for them, or 2 weeks, or 6 months. But He said, "Nope. I'm going to do it every day. Every day I'm going to rain down this bread from heaven." And they gave it a name. You remember what it was called? And most people don't know why it was called manna. Okay, I saw several of you mouth manna. But why was it called manna? And we're going to get there. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 6, "So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel," oh, we missed the last part. Look at verse 5. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. And so all through the week, they're going to have just enough food for that day, but God would provide on the day before the Sabbath day twice as much, and they were to gather twice as much as they would need. Verse 6, so Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, at evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us? And Moses said, when the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord. And then Moses said to Aaron, say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The blazing glory of God appeared in this pillar of cloud, the Shekinah glory. And the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another. Now, in the English, it loses it. Okay, it says in the English translation, what is it? But in Hebrew, it's man who. Okay, and so that's where they got the word manna. They called it, what is it, bread? The little children, they saw this and they went running around. They said to their mama, Manu, what is it, mama? What is it? And they called it, what is it, bread? Manna. They had never seen anything like it. Nobody had. In the history of the world, nobody had seen this bread, the bread of angels, that God just opened up heaven and showered down enough every day for the children of Israel until they crossed the Jordan and began to eat of the produce that had been planted in the promised land. Until that day, for all those years, God supplied the daily bread for God's people. And he said, I want you to learn to trust me every day for your bread. Well, let's keep reading. 22. Well, let's see. Verse, where did we stop? 16. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as you can eat. You shall take an omer according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent. And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. On the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers each. And when the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake, boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink, and there were no worms in it. Now, what's God teaching his people? He's teaching his people, you trust me, every day I'm going to give you food to eat, every day. And on the sixth day, you don't have to work. I want you to rest from your labor so that you can just enjoy the presence of God. And so when you save twice as much, it won't grow foul and stink and have worms in it. Verse 27, on the seventh day, some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, and therefore on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Now the house of Israel called its name manna. What is it, bread? It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. That doesn't sound too bad, you know? Wafers made with honey. Moses said, this is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omer of it be kept throughout your generations so that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put an omer of manna in it and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout your generations. Now there were three things that ended up in the Ark of the Covenant according to the command of the Lord. One was a copy of the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ark of the Covenant was the box that represented the footstool of God Almighty, of his throne. And it was placed in the tabernacle, in the temple, in the very back. And the cover of the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat. And that's where the priests would go and sprinkle the blood to make atonement. All a picture of the work of the Lord Jesus. But in that, not only a copy of the Ten Commandments, but Aaron's rod that budded, and a jar of manna. And the Lord wanted his people to remember, even after the 40 years were up, I want you to remember how I took care of you every day. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. And the people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to a habitable land. And they ate the manna till they came to the border of the land of Canaan. All right, turn with me to the book of Numbers. Chapter 11. Later on, after they are wandering in the wilderness for a while, they've been eating manna year after year. They come to the breakfast table, and what's on the menu? Fried manna. They come for lunch. What's on the menu? Baked manna. They come for supper. What's on the menu? Roasted manna. I mean, it's manna, manna, manna. All the meals. And you know what the children of Israel did? Instead of looking to the Lord and saying, Lord, thank you for providing for us, they said, yuck, we're tired of this manna. Manna, manna, manna. We want something else to eat. Let's read Numbers 11, the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. And then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. Be careful. Be careful. They had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing." Now, help me remember, what were they in Egypt? They were slaves. And here they're rewriting history. And they said, "Ooh, don't you remember how good it was back in Egypt? How we had fish to eat. We ate meat. What do we have now? Yucky old manna. The stuff angels eat every day. Sick of." "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of bdellium. "The people went about and gathered it and ground it in handmills to beat it in mortars and boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell with it. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, 'Why have you dealt ill with your servant? Why have I not found favor in your sight that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth that you should say to me, "Carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child to a land that you swore to give their fathers"? Where am I to get meat to give all this people? For they weep before me and say, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness." Well, bless Moses. He was starting to have a little pity party, wasn't he? He said, "Lord, I can't do this anymore. Just take me on. I'm giving up." And the Lord graciously comes and he says, "Well, Moses, first of all, I'm going to give you 70 elders to help you." And he provides helpers for Moses. And then jump down to verse 31, and we pick it back up now about what God does. Well, let's start reading in verse 18. Let's read a few more verses, and then we'll jump down. "And say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "Who will give us meat to eat? For it was better for us in Egypt. And therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall not eat just one day, or 2 days, or 5 days, or 10 days, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wept before him, saying, 'Why did we come out of Egypt?'" Now, I want you to think with me. We're looking at the petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." And it's not enough to just have the provisions given to us. We also need the grace in our heart to be thankful to Jesus and to use those provisions in a way that honors him. You remember the prodigal son? What'd he do? He took all the resources that his father had given to him, and what'd he do with it? He squandered it. He flittered it away. in riotous living, and he ended up destitute and in want. Well, here's the children of Israel. God is taking care of them, and what do? They say, we're tired of manna. We want meat to eat. And so they didn't come and humble themselves before the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for this manna. Could you give us some variety in our diet? I mean, that wouldn't have been wrong for them to ask, but to come and demand and rewrite history and repudiate the kindness and goodness of God was great wickedness. And we need to take that to heart. I want you to think about what you think you need. What are you going to do about it? And I'm going to tell you what the world does. When the world sees something that they think they need, they just go and conk somebody in the head and take it. Oh, they may dress it up like a lot of our politicians do and steal to redistribute. But God says we need to look to Him. And we need to wait upon Him and depend upon Him and seek to meet the needs that we perceive we have in the manner in which He says. Well, let's see what happens. The Lord says, you are weeping before me. The last part of verse 20, why did we come out of Egypt? Now jump down to verse 31. Then a wind from the Lord sprang up, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, around the camp and about 2 cubits above the ground. Now, that is, a cubit is the measurement from your elbow to here. It's about 18 inches. And 2 cubits, 18 and 18, if Jethro has done it correctly, it's 36. It's a yardstick. I want you to just picture in your mind, God caused this cloud of quail to come flying and then put them on the ground. A yard thick, a day's journey every direction from the camp of Israel. A day's walk, you could go out and harvest quail. Well, let's keep reading. Verse 32, and the people rose all that day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. Those who gathered least gathered 10 homers. Now, we're not familiar with homers. It's not talking about the one that wrote the Iliad. It's a different Homer. A Homer is about 6 bushels. Okay? You know, a bushel basket. You know, about that big around, about that tall. 6 of them. And notice, 6, that's what a Homer is. The person who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And 10 times 6 is what? 60. 60 bushels of quail. That's a lot of quail. It's an incredible miracle that God performed, providing for the needs of His people. And yet they had a heart that was in rebellion against the Lord. They spread them out for themselves all around the camp, and while the meat was yet between their teeth, before it was consumed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck down the people with a very great plague. And therefore the name of that place was called Kibroth Hattaavah. And you know what that means? Graves of craving. That was the name of the place, because the people were put in their graves because of their wicked craving. They didn't humble themselves and pray, Lord, thank you for this manna. Give us this day our daily bread. And so the second thing, last week we saw we need to look to God to provide for our needs, but we also need grace to be able to use those provisions in a way that honors God. You know, prosperity can kill you. Prosperity can kill you. I tremble for this country because we've gotten fat and sassy. We think we don't need the Lord Jesus anymore. We think that we can depend on ourselves. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. And here, right before the children of Israel go into the promised land, the Lord gives them this instruction. Look at verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry. And did what? He fed you with manna. What is it? Bread. They had never seen it before. And God said, I'm just reminding you. I don't want you to forget. And so I've got that jar there in the Ark of the Covenant. That's a testimony throughout the generations that God is the one who provides for our daily bread. And we need to look to him and never forget. God is the one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift that comes down from above. It comes from God, from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation in shadow due to turning. Remember, he tested you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not, and he humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Daily bread. Just enough for that day, for 40 years. And of course, the Lord showed them, you know, I could make it last on and on. Because on the sixth day, they were to gather for 2 days. And the manna didn't grow foul. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell. All these 40 years, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. And so when God blesses us, what should we do? We ought to remember to say something. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. That ought to be on our lips and in our heart almost constantly. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you ever find yourself and you're bored, you know, that was something that my children learned was not a safe thing to say in my hearing. Because I could fix that. You know, there were plenty of chores that I could arrange to cure boredom. But you see, one of the causes of boredom is we've lost sight of God. We've lost sight. This is his world. And if you had food to eat today, you ought not be bored. I ought not ever be bored. Now, I confess to you, there are times I lose sight of the glory of God. I forget to say thank you. That's wicked. You know, when I feed our cats, you know what our cats do before they eat? They bow their heads and they put their little paws on top of their head and pray and say, thank you, Jesus. No, they don't do that. As soon as that cat food hits the dish, they're chomping. That ought not be the way we are. Jesus made us. He takes care of us. And we ought to remember to bless the Lord. To say, thank you, Jesus. Look at verse 11. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God. Beware. Take care. God says, when prosperity comes, when God blesses you, be careful. Ask God to give you grace in your heart to honor God with what He gives you. To remember to say thank you. You know, you see me afterward if this wasn't true for you, but for I'm guessing every single one of us in here, when we got up this morning, you probably had to decide what to eat. Anybody go hungry this morning? The Lord has showered upon us His mercies. And we need to remember to say thank you. We need to remember to say thank you. And we pray that God would give us grace from these blessings that He showers us with to remember to serve Him with what He's enriched us with. Why has God given us such bounty? It's so that we would honor Him. So that we would use our strength and our vigor and our wealth to honor Him, to minister to the people around us in His sweet name. Take care, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and test you and do good in the end. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, this is a powerful prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. God, I depend on you every day for what I need. And Lord, I'm begging you, give me grace to receive all the blessings you would shower upon me. Give me grace for my heart not to grow fat and sassy and think I don't need you and forget you. Oh Lord, give me a heart that delights in you and that uses the resources you entrust to me for your praise. Don't let me be like the prodigal son that took the inheritance and squandered it. Lord, give me grace that all of the blessings you've showered upon me, I remember to thank you. In the times of plenty, Lord, give me that grace. And in the times of scarcity and need, Lord, help me to remember to pray to you, to ask you, and to follow your paths to get what I think I need. You know, Jesus is good. He's a good Savior. Love Him. Trust Him. Follow Him. Live in Him. Let's pray. Father, we beg that you would have mercy upon us. We live in a country now that is just full of confusion and chaos, even in the midst of plenty, because, Lord, we have forgotten you. And we beg, Lord, that you would write upon our hearts these passages that we've looked at. Lord, help us to remember that we ought to depend on you to take care of us and to follow your paths revealed in Holy Scripture, working hard, seeking to take care of one another, those who are in need. Lord, our heart goes out to the people who have suffered loss in these storms. Lord, we're struck with how we live in a fallen world. And Lord, if you have showered upon us plenty, Lord, give us great joy to thank you and to be good stewards and to be using our resources to minister to the people around us in your name and for your glory. Lord, we think of Psalm 67. Lord, we're asking for you to bless us and to prosper us that your way would be made known on the earth. Lord, we read the Psalm 128. Lord, we pray that you would prosper us, that you'd prosper the work of our hands, that we would not only have resources and material blessings, but Lord, grace in our hearts to honor you with all of the substance you would entrust to us as stewards. Lord, thank you for this prayer and teach us better how to pray and how to live. Oh Lord Jesus, you're our Savior, and we look to you. Forgive us of our sins. And Lord, we give ourselves to you to trust you and follow you in our everyday lives because you are worthy. You're the only Savior who can save. You're the only one who can wash us in your precious blood and make us clean. You're the only one who can give us our daily bread and give us grace to enjoy it for your praise and use it rightly. Lord, give that to us. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.